A message that I've entitled End of Days. End of Days. I think we all probably can sense that something is going on, something is in the air, something is about to happen. Even when I speak with people who don't even know the Lord, they can just look at the seasons, they can just look at the temperature of the world, the temperature of politics, and they can realize something is about to pop off. And of course, no man knows the day or the hour of Jesus's return, but there are certainly some things that we can know about it. Jesus said that we can know the times and the seasons. But the scripture gives us much more insight into the end of days. And when I say the end of days, I mean the end of this current world system. I mean the end of God gracefully just winking at man's ignorance and rebellion and disobedience. We have this event in the book of Matthew chapter 24. I'll just read the third verse and then we'll pray. Jesus has sat down on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" And they had two specific questions. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And two, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, your gracefulness, your kindness towards us, we acknowledge and we thank you for it. Now, Father, this morning we would ask you that you would bless this word, anoint our ears as well, Lord, anoint my lips that I might speak with clarity and that we might hear it with understanding. Father, we ask you that you would bless those that give in support of this ministry all day today as those that tithe and give donations. We ask you that you would bless them and return it upon them. And Lord, that you would take control of this service, that you would speak to my heart and the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two questions they asked the Lord. What is the sign of your coming and what is the signs of the end of the world? And when you look at the 24th chapter, if you have a red letter Bible, I believe the whole chapter, except for these opening verses, are red. Because Jesus goes into a long dissertation concerning end time events. As a matter of fact, the 24th chapter of Matthew is often likened unto a mini book of Revelation. Because Jesus just opens up and just begins to reveal prophetically what's going to happen at the end of this world system. And he does so with a clarity that all the details of the book of Revelation sometimes fog over because we can hardly believe what our eyes are reading. So I can't read the whole chapter today. I challenge you to read it sometime this week. But I'm going to begin at the 35th verse where Jesus is continuing to answer those two questions. What are the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus said in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now that's a revelation right there. That this heaven that we know now and the earth, God is going to fold it up as a vesture. He's going to do with it away with it altogether and create a brand new one on which his people will dwell. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Man, that's good. The creation is what it is because God spoke the word and it stood fast. And Jesus is saying this word will stand. It doesn't matter if every preacher turns away from it, this word will stand. It doesn't matter if every denomination and every ministry turn away and deny this word will stand. The whole of the heavens and the earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of this world shall in no wise pass away until it's all been fulfilled. But of that day, again, speaking of the last day, but of that day knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's saying the specific day that God has chosen to end this current world system, he hasn't told God the Son, he hasn't told the angels, and no man knows it. No man knows when this is going to occur. But Jesus gives us these indications. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he gives us a template. He says that we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but here's kind of what it's going to look like. And if you go back to just prior to the great flood, you find this man, Noah, who was evidently him and his family, the only people living in righteousness. The whole world had so degraded and had so separated themselves from God, just like our current world is. Have you noticed currently, everybody looks horizontally. Everybody's life is dealt with horizontally. There's few people who live vertically in relationship with God. But he says, just like in the days of Noah, that's what it's going to be like in the coming of the Son of Man. He goes on to say, oh, no, let's go look at Noah. Let's keep your finger there and just turn to Genesis 7. And we're going to look at a particular detail. Now, Noah preached and prophesied the coming of the flood for 120 years. 120 years. Now, from our biblical evidence, it had never rained on the planet. The flood of Noah's day, from what we know from Scripture, was the first time it ever rained on the planet. There was a mist in the garden that came up, like morning dew, condensation that watered the vegetation, but water had never fallen from the skies. But we see in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, and in the 600th year of Noah's life. How many believe God can sustain you? He can sustain you. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, look how specific the timing is. It's in the second month on the 17th day. It's an exact day that God knew that he was going to allow the flood of Noah's day to begin. To the same degree, God has an exact time, an exact moment that he's going to allow this current world system to begin to be stripped away by the hand of God. It says that the fountain of the great deep was broken up. And many people don't know this, but there's oceans inside of the planet. It's not just the Atlantic and the Pacific, but underneath the mantle, there's abundance of water, perhaps more than there is on the surface. And so in the flood of Noah's day, the water didn't just fall from the heavens. The water rose up from beneath. It means that there was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to escape. The water came up and the water came down, and it kept doing that for 40 days. And what's amazing is that although Moses had prophesied and warned the people for 120 years, nobody was ready. Nobody even had a canoe. And you have preachers that have been warning this current generation, screaming it, and we're thrown into the background. We're called lunatics. We're saying that's unscientific. That could never happen. That's just an old antiquated book that you're preaching from. Preacher, it's never going to happen. But when it happens, it's going to come from beneath and from above, and they shall not escape. This is why it's so important for you. Stay in church. Learn this book. Live this book. Because the judgment of God is coming upon this world. Listen, if God don't end it, we'd end it ourselves. Come on, you got, as soon as Iran can make a nuclear bomb, they're going to lob that bad boy. They're going to chunk that right over into the middle of Israel. We don't have to worry. That's not going to happen. Because if it was going to happen, it would be in the Bible. And it's not here. So we see that in the flood of Noah's day, we see that judgment came swiftly at an exact time that God had ordained. And Jesus says that The coming of the Son of Man and the end of the earth will be just like in Noah's day. Most people will not know about it. Most people will not be expecting it. Most people will not even be believing it. But you and I can have the eyes of our understanding enlightened through the study of the Word, and we can see what's coming before it comes. Let me say this. It doesn't matter how stupendous, how magnificent something is that God says He's going to do in this Word. It doesn't matter how unbelievable it is. It's going to happen. Do you realize that God prophesied through Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son"? That sounds like, well, there's no way that could happen. That's not scientific. It's never happened before. It's not scientific. And Isaiah actually died in the minds of many people as a lying prophet because it didn't happen during his life. It happened hundreds of years later, just as God said, a virgin conceived and brought forth a son. So going back to Matthew, it says in verse 38, he just said in 37, "For as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark." Now notice what it doesn't say. It says they were eating and drinking. It doesn't say they were robbing and stealing, although they were probably doing that. It goes on to say that they were marrying and giving in marriage. Just everyday, ordinary things that people do. But when you look at our day, it's very different. Yes, we're marrying and giving in marriage, but it's same-sex marriages, which has to anger God because it violates the creation model. And we have whole governments now saying, you can't say that. That's hate speech. And they may be able to jail the preachers, but you won't jail the reality of God's word. He's still not happy. It's an abomination. Y'all are quiet in here. Don't let these news folks give you Kool-Aid that you drink. Don't let them, through their psych-op type games, sway you from the stability and the authority of God's word. Don't let that happen. You may say, I don't understand it, but here's what I know what the word says. And stay with the word. Stay with the word. And it's going to, you know, they're going to try to make it sound like everything that the world system is doing, you're a hate monger if you don't go along with it. But we've been called out of the world. He said, come out from amongst them, my people, and be you separate. He said, if any man loves the world or the things that's in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I can't speak for you, but I'm speaking for me. I love the Father. I love Jesus Christ. And I'm going to choose sides. I'm going to stand over here with the Lord. No matter what comes, I'm going to stand with the Lord through the whole thing. Praise God. So it says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until. See that word, until? That means they were only doing these things up until the word until the flood came. And when the flood came, everyone got an immediate attitude adjustment. Everyone immediately, they had everything they believed was stripped away. Everything they hoped for was stripped away in one movement of God. And there was no hope left except an ark that Noah had been building, of which the door had just shut. And they shall not escape. Saints, it's so important for you and I. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in this world system. It's almost over. It is almost over. And someone says, well, what about my aspirations? What about my hopes and my dreams? You need to get new ones. You need to make your aspirations, hopes, and dreams in the light of the gospel. Because it doesn't matter how wonderful you devise a plan for your life, when God rips the blanket out from under society, those plans are gone. They're just gone. The point that I wish to make this morning, though, is that this judgment will come so fast that if your eyes are not open, if your ears are not in tune with the Scripture and with the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's going to happen just like that. Now, Paul told us in Thessalonians 5:2, he says, "For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, stop there. Paul had an expectation that we would already perfectly well know that the coming of the Lord was going to be so fast, it would be like a thief in the night. People would be totally unexpected. When the thief comes to rob your house, he doesn't give you a 12-hour warning. "Hey, I'm going to be there in a few hours, and you know, I'll be picking up a lot of your stuff." You may want to batten down the hatch and secure things. The thief doesn't do that. You don't know the thief came until he's gone. Let me say that again. You don't know that the thief even came until he's already done his work and he's gone. And Paul says that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Oh my goodness. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, we've never seen this world where God's grace is not constantly being extended. But as you move through the book of Revelation, as Jesus begins to open up the scrolls, you find that God's judgment falls, but it falls without any grace mixed in with it. How many's ever just read Revelation? Y'all need to read up. Read it slow. But it, as the bowls are poured out, as the scrolls are opened, as the trumpets blast, as one wave of God's wrath after another wave, it seems almost endless. When the locust beings come and they sting men, and their sting causes severe pain. The pain is so bad that people will gnash their tongue to relieve the pain. Have you ever bit your tongue? The Bible says that they will seek death to relieve themselves, but God will cause death to run away from them, meaning that they're unable to die. It's God's wrath, waves of his wrath, one after another, with no grace mixed into it. And so what he's saying is that when they're saying all is well, it's peace and safety. We finally got safety on the planet. We finally have enough treaties. We finally have enough political organization that is all peace and safety, all is well. He said, right when that said, sudden destruction falls. There will never be peace on this planet until the Prince of Peace is in control. It'll never happen. It never has happened. But he says, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Now, that takes it to another level. When my daughter Shekinah was born, I was there with my wife. It was the greatest moment of reality I have ever faced in my life. All of a sudden, nothing else matters. All of a sudden, this anguish is like you've never seen this before. The anguish of it, you just never seen a woman in labor. It's like, oh my God, this is as bad as I've ever seen it. It's reality at its most real. And that's what he's equating it like. Sudden destruction cometh upon them just as travail upon a woman with child. Once travail starts, you can't stop it. Once that woman starts having a baby, there's no medicine, there's nothing you can do. That baby's coming, and once God's judgment begins to fall, you cannot stop it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. In the last verses, the last five words, the promise is they shall not escape. Meaning there'll be some, and Revelation talks about they run to the rocks and to the mountains and say, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. But again, the scripture says they shall not escape. He is an omniscient God, meaning there's nothing that escapes his eyesight. Going back to Matthew verse 39, it says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They had no awareness that perdition was hanging right over their heads. I look at the people now who are so emotional, so engaged in this current world system. It broke my heart to see this. I saw a man recently on the news. You may have seen it. He was outside of wherever they're doing the court in New York for the ex-president. And the man set himself on fire. In a way of protesting, he set himself on fire. I read this morning he actually died. People have no idea as soon as you leave this life, you stand before a thrice holy God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then there is a judgment concerning how you conducted yourself through that life. And people live their lives so engaged in politics, in sports, in the things of this world that they have, their eyes are glossed over and they can't see the reality of their one heartbeat, one breath away from eternal judgment. My. They knew not. They had no idea until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus goes on to warn you and I, watch. That means be vigilant. Stay spiritually awake. Don't allow this slumber spirit that has the world sleeping. And we see a type of this with the 10 virgins. Make sure your light is lit and that you are spiritually alive and alert as to what's going on around you. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Yes, I'm in verse 42. Watch therefore. For you know not what hour the Lord doth come. You just can't tell. We can tell there's no prophecies left to be fulfilled. We know the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. At any moment. But let's just say, you know, there's several different theories on the rapture of the church. There's a pre-trib, which I believe. There's a mid-trib. There's a post-trib. Let's just say I'm wrong and it's not a pre-trib. Let's just say it's going to be a mid or a post-trib. That means the next thing to happen on the political landscape is the rise of the Antichrist. A 7-year peace treaty with Israel. And man, they're working up to something over there. So we can see we're in the time and the season that cannot be denied. The world is so wicked and evil now, it is absolutely... they just passed laws in Canada. You can no longer read this Bible in public. It's Canadian law. You can no longer hand out tracts. You cannot tell people about the gospel. It is hate speech and it carries a heavy penalty. That's our next door neighbor, Canada. Verse 43, but know this. Jesus says, you know not what hour your Lord comes, but know this. If the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Now, we don't know the hour the thief is coming. That means we should continually watch and pray without ceasing. We should always make sure our eyes spiritually are open and that we're acquainted with this New Testament so that as things happen in the world, we can peg that back. What does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? But if you don't know the scripture, you're going to be stuck listening to CNN. If they had known in what watch the thief would come, they would have watched and would not have suffered their house to be broken up. Therefore, verse 44, therefore, based on that, be you also ready. Be ready. It means to be continually ready, watching and waiting for the next event on the prophetic horizon. Because we're right at the door. Is there another sin that we haven't done as a society? I mean, we've done them all, right? I mean, you got folks out there, I mean, killing babies, that's old. That's an old thing. I mean, these folks now is having sex with children and with animals. I prophesied this for years. The day will come that you will find people openly in public having sex with animals. And it's going to come in. It's already coming in. You can already see it coming in because people have to have their service pet. What do they call it? The little pet that they carry with them wherever. And the thing, the pet hadn't changed. Men, the minds of men are breaking. You see, being away from God, the wisdom and the right-mindedness, it just dissipates and we become like brute beasts. We will do anything to make ourselves feel better. And that, unfortunately, there's no sins that we haven't done. I mean, we slaughtered each other in wholesale numbers and justified it. And so if the Lord doesn't come, he said, if I don't come and cut it off, he said, there'll no flesh be saved. In other words, it means we will annihilate ourselves if Jesus doesn't come and help us. Therefore, be ye also ready, for because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Now hear what he said. At just the time when you think this is not the time, it turns out to be the time. In such a time that you think not, that you don't, surely it wouldn't be now, that's when he comes. So saints, I beg you, get into your word. Build up your prayer life. It's not something you do for a week or a month. It's a lifestyle that you're building up so that you have a lifestyle of prayer. Find a time in your day, the mornings are always better because your day is not yet cluttered up, to slip away from everybody else and spend some time in prayer. And sometimes, you know, there are some times that I try to pray, you know, I usually try to pray for an hour. There are some times that, man, everything's fogged up. I just can't get going. Well, bring your Bible with you. And if you can't pray, read your Bible. If you're having your morning coffee, open your Bible, keep a place, and start studying through the New Testament. Because you need to know what is happening before it happens. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we love you. We thank you that you've given us this preview. We thank you that you've opened up, God, the curtain and let us look into these end-time events. And although we don't know every detail, Father, obviously we do not have to. We just need to know that the hour is upon us. And Lord, you told us to watch and to pray and to be ready. For in such an hour that we think not that you would make your debut upon the world stage. Father, we lift up holy hands to you. We look for the hope of your coming. We believe you, O God, that it is at the door. Come on, all over the room, if you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet? And why don't you just speak to God concerning what's in your heart in light of what you've heard today? Just reach out to the Lord. Father, I want to know. I want to know you and I want to know these events. I want to be in tune with heaven and not in tune with this world. Help me to step back from the world and the things of the world and help me to step forward into the things of heaven. God, you said heaven and earth would pass away. Every aspiration, every dream, every hope. All pass away. God, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Ask him to help you through these times to come. Ask him to help you.
Father God, we thank you so much that you left us your word. And I pray that as things go on and the world gets worse and worse, that we will get on our knees, Father God, and that we will get in our word, because you have left us your word so that we can get closer to you, God, and that we will not be afraid of these things that are going on, but we will be able to pray as Christians, come, Lord, come quickly. And I just ask, Father God, that we as Christians do believe that, and we hope and pray and get ready for your coming. It is in Jesus' most precious and holy name that I pray. Amen. If you haven't had a chance to give yet, there's still time. We pray that you will help us out. There are many ways to give, and we thank you for it. This week, we will not have Bible study, but we will have a laity service. Would you please come out and support our laity speakers? They need all of our support. And on May the 4th, we have the church barbecue coming up, and we need workers for that. There's a sign-up sheet outside in the lobby, so if you would please help us out with that. And we thank all of you who have joined us today at Christ Unveiled in-house, and those who are on our webcast. We thank you for joining us. And we have an 11 o'clock service coming up, so feel free to join us again. You're dismissed.